Hi there, I'm Brandon Blevins with CertSecurity.com. Thanks for listening. Joining me today is Greg Preisman, Research VP with Gartner. Greg Preisman, Research VP with Gartner. It's great to have you with us.
Brendan, I appreciate being here. Thank you.
There are several existing identity standards, including SAML, OAuth 2.0, and OpenID. How popular are these options with enterprises, and what kind of security benefits are they providing?
So up until a year or two ago, the most prevalent protocols for authentication and authorization were XML-based. So SAML is the primary example of a very mature standard for doing authentication and, to some extent, authorization. Newer developers tend to favor REST-based standards and rather than XML-based ones. And so we're starting to see OpenID, the evolving OpenID Connect, and certainly OAuth, the delegation protocol for authorization, being used more and more. And most commonly, those REST-based protocols are being used in cloud-to-cloud applications, so when two services need to talk to each other, when enterprises want to let consumers log in with their social identities, those protocols are at work. And we're also seeing OAuth and OpenID Connect, more early days for OpenID Connect, be of interest for clients developing native mobile applications to leverage those protocols.
What kind of progress is the Online Secure Transaction Protocol from the FIDO Alliance making with enterprises?
Well, it is really, really early days for that. It's really brand new, and it's at this point it is the consortium of vendors that are part of that alliance who are developing the specification. They're pushing it. I don't believe it is in use anywhere in production right now, per se. And the idea with that is to allow the code to run on the endpoint that identifies the available authentication methods, rather than have one single proprietary vendor method be used across a bunch of apps. If all the available methods can be explored and identified and then potentially brought to bear in authentication decision, then it might be a more powerful, more reliable authentication decision. And then the idea is that the protocols are standardized to the back end, and that there's some server component that is able to leverage those. And so there's a lot that has to happen, really, for that to really move forward and take off.
The Online Secure Transaction Protocol uses, among other factors, the Trusted Platform Module chip. Is TPM going to be the key for the industry as a whole to move past single-factor authentication?
Well, I think the case with TPM is it's the same as it's been for quite a while. Yes, there are many, many devices that have TPMs in them, but not all devices have those. So I think in the FIDO world, the TPM is one of those devices that could be leveraged, among others.
In terms of password alternatives, a survey from Knock Knock Labs and Ponymon Institute found that consumers prefer voice recognition over other biometric methods. Do you think voice recognition will become more popular in the enterprise? What about other biometric options?
Yeah, so we are seeing more interest and more adoption of voice. And one of the advantages it has is that it can be done passively or almost passively. In other words, the user, the client, the customer just does what they always do. They speak into the interface, and upon recognition, they're allowed in. That's easier than having to do something like type a password on the mobile device, which is cumbersome. It's less fun doing that than it has been for dealing with traditional machines. We've seen a little bit of interest in keyboard dynamics, so keyboard biometrics, where the capability understands the speed of typing and the dwell time in between characters. So we think that voice and the fact that cameras are embedded in so many mobile devices that will be used either facial or iris or eye-white kinds of biometrics could be invoked along altogether. That plus contextual information, IP address, geolocation, to the extent that they're allowed by the user, all of these things come together to help recognize the user more passively with, over time, less and less overt user interaction or the user having to do something in order to authenticate.
Ultimately, how close are most enterprises to supplanting single-factor passwords, and what's it going to take to get there?
I think you see success in pockets for different use cases. I know I talk with a lot of clients who are having solid successes. To the extent that the application is under an enterprise's control or a set of applications, there are tools that can be brought to bear to provide single sign-on and either eliminate passwords or bring them down to one. We see plenty of examples of that. One of the greatest threats to that has been the adoption of SaaS applications, cloud, and those are building the new identity silos. Those applications have been built because of the evolutionary or revolutionary way they deliver business functionality, and the little identity problem is something that gets dealt with later after buying customers say, hey, we don't want yet another password, and hey, we don't want yet another place to administer identity. So this is where standards come together with cloud, in that vendors who provide SaaS applications need to have standard interfaces for provisioning the administrative events, standard federation interfaces, taking advantage of the protocols we talked about earlier, and they also need a standardized way to export event data so that enterprises can see who has access to what and who's accessed what, and we're just not there yet.
Let's shift towards some general enterprise IAM issues for a moment. This year's Verizon Data Breach Investigations Report once again highlighted enterprise authentication issues, including problems with stolen credentials and brute force attacks. What was your reaction to that report, and is there any hope of improvement?
There have been issues with people impersonating other users since time began, I think. There are lots of things that can be done today, some, but none of them are foolproof. Okay, especially when we talk about authentication. Brute force attacks are one possibility. I think the bigger risks today are associated with those kinds of attacks that wait for an authentication of some kind to happen. And so any authentication method can be circumvented if there's something like malware on the endpoint, quote, man-in-the-browser attack, for example, just has to wait for a user to properly authenticate, and then they're in if they have control of the device. So in terms of their attacks on people, right, social engineering, working their way into an organization by impersonating others, these are and behavioral approaches have to be taken in those cases. In the case of circumventing electronic authentication means, my colleague Viva Leighton has done a bunch of research on five layers of fraud prevention, and so there are levels or strata of controls that you can put in, or services or technologies and processes, depending on how much money you want to throw at something and how much time you'd like to spend on it.
Now, there's been this notion for a while that identity is now the perimeter for many organizations. What effect has mobility had on IAM technology and policy, and what are enterprises doing to get their arms around it?
Yeah, the idea of identity being a new perimeter, I think that's interesting. That might be overhyped. But there's no doubt about it that mobile is one of the things that's stretching and breaking current IAM regimes. Now, there's decent news in the administrative side, whether it's MDM or some other device identification, we can at least have some assurance that we know something about the device or who it belongs to. If the applications that are being accessed from a mobile device are web architected, then there's a very good chance that access management infrastructures that we own can be used, you know, and this is provided that the user interface is good enough for the experience for the users. But things like using cookies to hold session state, that should still work. Federation should still work. It's the native resident apps in mobile that are most interesting, because these are developed in-house by the enterprise, and or even worse is if they're developed by third party without thinking about the enterprise's IAM infrastructure, they're going to again work in isolation and sort of be the new silos. And so that's really the third party developed app in concert with an enterprise wanting their users to authenticate at home, plus the SaaS app. Those three parties being in the loop are presenting the toughest nut to crack today.
Mobility presents new challenges to IAM, but it also presents opportunities in the form of two-factor authentication. What's your take on mobile devices as part of an enterprise two-factor authentication strategy?
Well, mobile devices today are malleable. They have the ability to support multiple methods of authentication and also come with interfaces that can be part of that solution. So smart devices like tablets and smartphones can execute authentication software, such as various forms of one-time password authentication. The voice interface can be used for out-of-band voice one-time password. SMS can be used for one-time password authentication. And we're seeing the rise in voice biometrics, and we'll be seeing more and more use of the camera as well, and contextual information like geolocation and IP address being leveraged together to help reduce friction for the authentication.
What are your thoughts on the login credentials for sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, and most recently Amazon being increasingly used across the web? Is this trend going to improve web security, particularly for web-based SMBs that struggle with IAM?
Well, I think that is another source of reducing friction today. That's the first thing I would say, more than improving security today. What it's doing is it's allowing certain kinds of industries to accept third-party identities and authentication in order to have their users, their customers, constituents in a government use case get access to the enterprise's applications. You already have an ID, we'll let you use it. And that's fine, particularly at lower levels of assurance where the data being protected is not that sensitive. So you're reducing friction for the registration process and for the authentication process by letting the user use something they've already have. None of these vendors has done any identity proofing of the individuals before that ID is created. I always say that you can still be that dog on the internet. My dog has a Facebook account and she has friends. So as soon as you start thinking about using those identities and those authentication for accessing more sensitive data, that's where you need a more adaptive layer that can use what we talked about earlier, the multi-methods available to leverage off of a phone, for example, or a tablet, to use on-hand information about users that they may have, and any kind of information that they can glean to have better assurance in the authentication. And we'll just see that get better and better over time. But right now, relying on a social media ID by itself for really sensitive data is just not recommended.
Finally, what's the most important enterprise authentication issue that you see in research that isn't often talked about?
I think we did just talk about them, actually. the biggest ones that are stretching our client base are this mobile use case for native applications. I think that idea has not fully come to the fore. I think people are just now starting to hear about it in numbers that are in line with where we were with cloud and authentication 3 years ago. The noise started to build and build until it crescendoed this year, really, for cloud, that breaking identity and access management. And I think we are with mobile where we were about a year and a half ago.
Greg Kreisman, Research VP with Gartner. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brennan.
And for more of our podcast, be sure to visit searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Brandon Blevins. Have a great day.